across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north and not nearly as hazy as it's been in the past. It is Wednesday, June 7th, 2023. It's 63 degrees up here on the lake, 58 in Middleton, 50 in West Bend. Mosinee coming in at 48, Lac-des-Flambeaux at 43, and welcome to everybody for tuning in on this midweek, first week on some new stations, including 93.5 The Tap right here in Chippewa Falls. Coming up on the program this morning, we've got a busy one here. We've got some big name guests, including Congressman Mark Pocan, who's joining us in our next hour to talk about why the calls to ban TikTok are rooted more in international politics than in data privacy. He'll also discuss the recent debt ceiling deal that he voted against. And State Assembly Rep Tip McGuire, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, will give us an update on the crafting of a new state budget. That's a very busy 7 o'clock hour. Before all that, this hour, well, there's a reason why President Biden has proposed new pollution standards to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at power plants. And it's not about politics and it's not about business. It's about basic human health. So instead of getting caught up in partisan politics and corporate talking points, our Climate Check segment this week with Melissa Baldoff will include a public health expert, a retired nursing professor from UW-Eau Claire, who can explain the many benefits of getting power plants to burn cleaner. Doesn't seem like it should be that controversial when you talk about people's health being at stake. If you'd like to reach us during the show with questions or comments, our studio line is 844-967-2789, and you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You may be watching this radio show as a live video feed. We do that on at least three different Facebook pages for Up North News, for Civic Media, for our Wausau station, Bull Falls Radio, and we're going to expand that to I think as early as tomorrow to the Facebook page for 93.5 The Tap here in Chippewa Falls. And in any of those cases, if you put a comment below the live video feed and we see that, we may put that up as part of the video feed too. So we always are looking for ways to get your feedback one way or another. And as usual, a reminder, Up North News is a separate media entity from Civic Media. We really love having the two-hour crossover here every morning, where the guy from Up North News talks to the guy who's an employee of Civic Media. That would be one, Aaron Zommers, down in Madison. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing pretty well. I got here a little bit early and just walked around outside a bit. Got some fresh air.
Isn't that something? And literally fresh air, because so much of that haze from the Canadian wildfires has moved out. Did you see any of the pictures or video from New York City?
I did not.
We've received a lot of that smoke and haze here in Wisconsin. What has settled over New York, qualified as the worst air quality in the world for the past like 24 to 48 hours, something like that. I mean, it has such that, you know, 1960s, early 70s smog look to it, you know, before the Clean Air Act and everything. And it's, again, it just looks downright dangerous.
Oh man, that is brutal.
And especially when you consider that, I mean, we joke about Canada burning itself down, but I mean, we've gone through two waves of this. The first were wildfires out in Western Canada, but what we experienced a couple of days ago, what the East Coast is going through right now, are wildfires burning across Quebec, you know, central to Eastern Canada. And it just, you know, goes to show you the many ways the planet is trying to kill us. It seems in some way, shape or form. And so we really shouldn't exacerbate the problem, because nature is brutal enough as it is.
Yeah, it's just retaliating.
Yeah, that's it. So, and I believe I saw a weather advisory, and we'll get the full weatherology forecast coming up in our next hour. But yes, here it is. There actually is elevated fire weather conditions across many parts of Wisconsin through tomorrow. We've had some very dry conditions, some places especially dry. The humidity has been falling into the 15 to 25% range. So you definitely have areas that are a bit more sensitive, where a small fire, however well-disciplined you might be, can get out of hand quickly. So be careful or avoid any activities that could lead to a wildfire. That includes, you know, outdoor grills, campfires, smoking, chainsaws, fireworks, ATVs, anything with the potential to throw a spark and ignite a grass fire or something that could become a wildfire. So for the next couple of days here, while we have that going on, please be very careful outside and, you know, try not to make things any worse than they already are. We've got Joe Pluff. Remember Joe Pluff, former legislator, joining us with a little quick good morning greeting on the video feed. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that very much. Nice to have you along as well, probably on one of our newer radio stations that are out there that we are still working our way through. And I continue to appreciate the hard work that is being done behind the scenes. Just getting a single Facebook page up, like the new one we're getting set for 93.5 The Tap. You know, you think you've got it right, and then you get this error message, and then, you know, you've got to try again. And God bless the nerds, man. They're running the world.
Yeah, especially if you want to add administrators to a Facebook page. You wouldn't think that'd be so hard.
You wouldn't think so, but as somebody who's got administrative rights on all kinds of pages through Courier Newsroom, through Up North News, now through Civic Media, it's quite the juggling act. And just when you got it set on your desktop, you got to go through it all over again on your phone. If you get it all done, it's extremely convenient. But in the meantime, there are definitely some headaches. All right, we have sports and some headlines to get to you coming up in just a couple of minutes here on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning. We'll be right back.
She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
Big birthday today for another music legend, Tom Jones. The Welsh superstar is 83 years old today. And Aaron and I were just playing some Tom Jones songs in the background. We might just turn over the last segment of the show to Tom Jones. He is a classic example of somebody that you hear growing up. And I don't know who it might be for your generation, but Tom Jones, Neil Diamond, a couple of others that my parents played all the time. And you were sick of it. Like, oh, Mom, don't play that again. And now, of course, because you heard it all the time in your childhood, I love it. Every time a Tom Jones song comes on, I'm gonna tap my toes. Just how it goes. Aaron, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I know I had that for a lot of country music. My mom would always play country in the car, and I'd be like, country. And then I got older, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't appreciate that. There's a lot of good country out there.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. Now, I'm not saying it's everything, but yeah, you definitely come back to your roots at some point once you get into adulthood. You and I were discussing before the break the administrator hoops that you have to jump through on Facebook. I don't think I've told the story yet about YouTube and how, and I have to, you know, make an admission here live on the radio. If you go to the YouTube page for Up North News, there hasn't been an update on there in over 2 years. And part of it was a business decision. We said at Up North News that we are going to stress the other social media sites, our Facebook posts, Twitter, Instagram, even TikTok. And Up North News simply did not make YouTube a priority platform. We were just going to use it as a parking spot to park some of our longer videos and not just use it as an everyday thing. Well, like any other startup or any other business, people come and go. And at some point, I said, you know, I want to put some stuff up on YouTube anyway. I want to start putting more things there. And we come to realize as people come and go, somebody somewhere in a previous string of past social media workers had the login information and it didn't get reverted back to the company.
Oh, no.
We've gone literally months, 2 or 3 months trying to figure out who had the administrator privileges and then try to recover that email account so that you could use, you know, because a lot of times you log in with an email address and to try to figure out how we could get in. And when it finally happened, when we finally had success last Thursday, I think it was. And of course, we're a nationwide company, so we basically communicate through text messages on Slack. And as I got the news, I let them know. I said, I literally let out a little scream of joy to figure out that we could finally start using YouTube. So actually just this week, Monday, Tuesday, and again right now, along with the live video feeds on our Facebook and Twitter pages. We're also on YouTube now. We're streaming live on YouTube just at the Up North News YouTube page, which is all to say, as always, we'd love to have you listening through your local civic media radio station, but if you can't be by the radio, many different options to choose from, and now YouTube's one of them.
Yeah, even if you don't like social media, now you don't have to go on Facebook or Twitter. You can use YouTube.
Actually, yes, that's a very good point. Appreciate that very much. Let's do some sports. Just about 6:19 now. Joey Weimer hit the game-winning single in the 10th inning to lift the Milwaukee Brewers to a 4-3 victory over the Baltimore Orioles Tuesday night. That just tells you how early my bedtime is that when they were going two extra innings, it was already late enough for me. And I said, I can't do this because if you stick around for the 10th, then what if they go to 11? Do you stick around for that? So I was only like 5 minutes away from missing watching the Brewers win, but they did. And that put the Brewers back into first place in the National League Central, half a game ahead of the Pirates, who lost after winning six straight games. The game was tied at 3 in the 10th inning, and in the bottom, or the top of the 10th rather, Baltimore had runners at first and second with two outs, but Brewers reliever Peter Strzelecki struck out pinch hitter Josh Lester. Christian Yelich went 3-for-4 with two doubles and scored a run. He stole two bases. It's a nice change of pace when you consider that the Brewers batters are among the lowest performers statistically in the National League so far this season, lowest in runs scored, slugging percentage, OPB, and other factors as well. But there was some great defense in this game as well. Some outstanding catches that were made by the Brewers. Starting pitcher Freddie Peralta and the Orioles starter each went 5 innings, threw nearly 100 pitches, gave up 2 runs. The team's stoppers for Baltimore and for Milwaukee, Devin Williams, each pitched a perfect 9th inning. We gave away tickets on Monday and Tuesday to tonight's game, so we will have some Up North News Radio winners going to tonight's game, where Corbin Burns will take the mound. And in the Fox Valley, you can hear tonight's Brewers game on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 or 1100 AM. Or over in Richland Center, catch the Brewers game on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. Governor Tony Evers, together with Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, made some numbers official yesterday. You'll recall that we had the Tourism Secretary on a couple weeks back for, it was a National Tourism and Travel Day. And she told us at the time that the 2022 numbers were still being crunched. They are final now, and it is official that Wisconsin tourism saw a record-breaking year in 2022. The tourism industry generated $23.7 billion in total economic impact. You think about that. That's a lot of fishing licenses and hotel rooms. And, you know, I mentioned the other day, my sister-in-law opening a new bait shop up near Hayward called Can of Worms. And I mean, that's a lot of worms and night crawlers and minnows and everything that goes into bringing visitors to our state who want to keep coming back time after time. $24 billion to our state's economy, surpassing the previous record year of $22 billion set in 2019. The governor's office reports that all 72 counties experienced an increase in total tourism economic impact last year. How does that translate into jobs? Well, how about 174,600 part-time and full-time jobs across various sectors of the industry? And those jobs, of course, we all pay payroll taxes. And so when you add those jobs, then that's more payroll tax that helps to pave the roads and pay for the schools and everything. All those tourism jobs contributed $1.5 billion in state and local tax revenue. All right, let's get this down to the people level. Last year, how many visits were made to Wisconsin? 111 million visits. That was up about 9%, or about 9 million visits over the previous year. And that includes a little over 45 million overnight visits. And that's a big increase, 14% from the year before. And why do we mention the overnight visits as opposed to the day trippers? The overnight visitors tend to spend quite a bit more. Usually it's the hotel room that makes the difference. But regardless, to see those kinds of numbers for Wisconsin tourism are especially encouraging when you consider that, you know, people have a choice. They could go, you know, to Michigan or Minnesota or to Canada or what have you. And so we feel very fortunate to have people here, but it's because a lot of us here are working hard. We're trying to keep the state clean and attractive, and we appreciate everybody who comes and visits. And, you know, some of us put down roots and stay for the better part of forever. Let me head back to sports for just a moment, although it's not really sports. It's much more in the world of news. And if you don't normally follow golf, that's okay. This is not a golf story. This is a story about international politics and the love of money and what it can do to people and the short memories that some Americans have about 9/11. You may or may not have known that the PGA, the Professional Golfers Tour, the PGA Tour had a rival recently, that the government of Saudi Arabia, the government that was, you know, by and large behind the 9/11 attacks, the murder of an American journalist, the continued punishment, imprisonment, executions of, you know, women and other dissidents, you know, that friendly place, the place that gouges us for all of our, you know, gas and oil money over the decades. That country tried to basically launder some of its money through the creation of its own golf league. And it lured away some big names from the PGA with very big offers of money. It caused a lot of contention behind the scenes because many people in the PGA, rightly so, said, we want no part of this. We don't want the Saudis' money. We don't want their influence. We want them out. In the PGA, and its commissioner, Jay Monahan, cracked down and said, you know, golfers who want to go play for the LIV Golf Tour, as it was called, you know, they may be banned from the PGA. They may face fines or other discipline. There were a lot of hard feelings as some golfers did leave and other golfers stayed. Some, like Tiger Woods, turned down nearly $1 billion in Saudi money to say that this isn't right, that we should back the PGA. And for quite a while recently, it was looking like the Saudi Arabia, the Saudis LIV Golf Venture was going to come to an end. TV ratings were minuscule. It wasn't catching fire. And folks could really foresee a time where it would fold and eventually those golfers who left the PGA would be welcomed back in. Well, everything got completely turned on its head yesterday with the shocking news that the PGA Tour is dropping its expensive fight with the Saudis because the Saudi golf operation is, they called it a merger with the PGA. But from most folks on the outside, it looks like a buyout. And so even though it's called a merger, you know, there will be a lot of control here by Saudi figures on what will happen with the PGA Tour going forward. Apparently, there will be a new name for this new for-profit entity. But people are rightly wild with anger about the hypocrisy and the backstabbing. What you had essentially happen is the PGA Tour saying to golfers, no, 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 don't you take that big money and leave us. Don't you take that big money from the Saudis and leave us. And the Saudis figured out, well, I guess instead of offering big money to the golfers, let's offer big money to the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour suddenly caved, folded like a house of cards, and it's now okay for them to go along with it. Jay Monahan, the commissioner who had spoken so eloquently in the past about how the 9/11 families would be affected and how he was going to fight against LIV Golf and that you would never be embarrassed to associate yourself with the PGA Tour, he said after taking a dig at LIV. Now, suddenly, he says last night, I recognize everything I've said in the past. I recognize people will call me a hypocrite. Anytime I've said anything, I've said it with the information that I had, and I said it with someone trying to compete with our tour and our players. I mean, talk about tap dancing. And understandably, some 9/11 families have put out a statement about the betrayal that they feel about it. And look, I don't golf. I don't follow golf. I just know that as much as I love baseball or football, if the Saudis had taken over Major League Baseball or the NFL, I promise you, I'd be out. I'd say, you know what? We'll find some other way to find our sports entertainment. And that's the way it's going to be for golf for a lot of people. Our climate check with Melissa Baldoff is coming up next. This is Up North News Radio for a Wednesday. We'll be right back. Climate check segment, and we check the climate with our friend Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, great. Hey, we're going to be visiting with a guest today to talk about how the Biden administration is announcing the first regulations to limit greenhouse pollution from power plants, something that had been tried under the Obama administration, but opponents were able to block it. So I wanted your own impression of the significance of moving forward with this before we get specifically into the, you know, the health aspects of it. What are your feelings from a political standpoint after seeing how the Obama administration fell short with what the Biden administration is now proposing?
Right. You know, and again, it's so many, we've had this conversation a bunch of times, Pat, but, you know, these are issues that shouldn't be political, but unfortunately they are. And so I think that it's so important that we're having these conversations about why this work is important, why we need to really have these strong protections in our environmental laws. You know, the Clean Air Act is incredibly important to protect public health and to make our, you know, our communities cleaner and safer for everybody. So, you know, we know that the fossil fuel industry doesn't want these protections. You know, there are people who in industries for whom, you know, this is bad news for them because it's going to impact their profits. But we know that they have already been making plenty of money for decades and decades and, you know, making these problems worse. And now is the time that we've really got to make sure we are getting the strongest possible protections in place, because we know that the health and well-being of our communities is so much more important than, you know, these massive record profits that we're seeing for these fossil fuel companies. And, you know, we've got to make sure that the focus is on the right priorities here. And that's why I'm excited to have these conversations and to make the public really aware of what's going on so they can make their voices heard, because that's a really important part of the process when these big changes are considered, that public input is sought by the administration. That's really important. And people should be aware what's going on and be aware how they can make their voice heard to get those really strong safeguards in place.
And again, this is really about the why, the health and the well-being of a community. The why isn't, you know, just because. The why isn't because people prefer one form of power over another. The why isn't because of shareholder and stock prices. The why isn't because West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has earned millions from his family's coal business. The why is public health, and that's where we bring Pam Gutman into the conversation, an assistant professor of nursing at UW-Eau Claire. And we are just thrilled to have you along, Pam, because I know about your expertise in this area of getting to the why of all of this. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Pat. It's wonderful to join you and Melissa here on this segment. And I do want to just share that I am retired from UW-Eau Claire, but certainly have been very active yet as a public health practitioner, as you know, especially with the organization that I'm representing here with Healthy Climate Wisconsin.
How has time allowed us to move to this point where you're retiring and some of us are talking about it already? It's not fair. It's not fair, Pam, but
well, it's only retiring from education in the classroom. I'm still doing a lot of work in practice. So
somehow I don't think that's ever going to stop with you. And that's a very good thing. So can you talk a bit more about what exactly is being proposed in terms of greenhouse gas emission limits from power plants and why that's important to Healthy Climate Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So as we're talking, EPA has proposed a new plan to cut harmful climate pollution from the existing coal and existing gas and any new gas power plants that might be that come into effect. And this is a huge, big deal. People may or may not know, but the power sector is really the second largest contributor to overall climate pollution in the United States. Currently, the carbon emissions from existing fossil fuel power plants are totally not regulated. They are unregulated, which is kind of unfathomable to really recognize. So anything that we can do to have stronger climate pollution safeguards on these power plant emissions are so essential to protect all of our health and to limit the climate crisis. And though we know that the initial proposal is a really good start, we want to have the agency finalize their strongest possible version of these climate pollution safeguards so that we can cut climate pollution in half by 2030. 2030 is not too far away. So us as healthcare or health professionals want to urge EPA and everyone here needs to contact EPA to enact these strong climate pollution limits, because otherwise they're spewing significant things into the air and hurting us and causing significant harm.
Thanks, Pam. And I'm just, you know, curious if you could tell us a little bit more about why these power plant emissions are so harmful to human health. And, you know, what are the impacts? What are the effects for people who are exposed to those emissions?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult for me as a public population health nurse, you know, nearly 40 years of experience. I don't know how that happens because I'm, you know, pretty young here at the age of 29 and holding.
Same.
But they're very harmful to us because when they release the energy, there's also other chemical reactions that are occurring. And according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, some of those plant emissions include things like mercury. Coal plants are responsible for 42% of the United States mercury emissions. That toxic heavy metal will damage our nervous system, our digestive system, our immune systems, and it's a serious threat to children's development. The other thing that they will emit is sulfur dioxide, and that forms small particulates that can penetrate our lungs, and that's linked with asthma, bronchitis, and especially if you have some of those pre-existing health conditions, if, you know, we see smog and acid rain, that really will exacerbate one's health condition. The other thing that they will spew out and hurt us with are nitrous oxides, and that's visible too as smog, and it irritates our lung tissues, again, further exacerbating asthma and making people more susceptible to things like pneumonia and influenza. And lastly, the particulate matter, which we usually refer to as soot, is linked with chronic bronchitis. It aggravates asthma, and something that a lot of people don't realize who have cardiac disease, it exacerbates the likelihood of not only cardiovascular disease like hypertension, but also heart attacks, and also leads to premature deaths.
Pam, I think that some of this still catches some people off guard because in a certain way, we are victims of a previous generation's success. There was the Clean Air Act in the early 70s, and people have seen the photos, or some of us are old enough to remember, much heavier layers of smog, much heavier, you know, black soot billowing out of smokestacks. We don't see it so much anymore after these 50 years or so. So people are apt to say, well, wait, I thought we fixed all this. Are you really saying that these health issues still happen?
Absolutely. They happen at increasing rates. And I would say that, you know, one of the things that because of climate change and then how this interacts with the air pollution that's coming from the fossil fuel plants, that's totally unregulated. Again, I want to make sure that people understand there are no regulations that are helping us stay in a more healthier air quality area, is that when we burn fossil fuels and they're unregulated, all of these particular things cause carbon dioxide and methane to be released. And so those greenhouse gases forms this thicker blanket over our atmosphere. It creates our planet to be warmer, and that leads to increased global temperatures and is driving global climate change. And so that air pollution raises not only the temperature of our planet. You know, you'll see sometimes the picture of the Earth with a fever thermometer. That's truly what's happening. And yes, it still is causing us significant issues, because when that smog forms, when the weather is warmer, you can actually, you know, you actually in some places can really see this, but there's more ultraviolet radiation as well. That increases air pollutants. And now if we have severe weather events where we're seeing more torrential rainfalls, it increases the wetness, especially in the northern part of Wisconsin. We see mold conditions happen from those extreme weather events, the increased flooding. And we're also seeing more higher levels of pollen from the number of weeds that are growing. And that really adds into people who already have asthma are more likely to have asthma, and certainly communities of color and low income, low wealth communities are also experiencing more significant health effects from climate change and related to all of the deadly air pollution that's coming into our airspaces, again, because fossil fuel plants are not regulated.
Wow. You know, it's just, hearing you talk about that is just so scary for all of us. And, you know, I know so many people have gotten the same kinds of alerts that I get on my phone, or, you know, see them on my computer, you know, air quality alert, air quality warning. And I've really noticed those ticking up lately. And I feel the difference for me. I have, you know, seasonal allergies like so many people do, and they have been so much worse lately. And, you know, just knowing that the air quality, you know, is getting worse, and that this is happening right now, you know, to me, this is becomes where we have this conversation of what can people do and what action can we all take? What should we be asking of the EPA, asking of the Biden administration to help address this issue?
So one of the things that we have tried to do at Healthy Climate Wisconsin is to make it easy for people. I don't care if you're a healthcare professional. I don't care if you're an educator. I don't care if you're a mom, a grandma, a grandpa, aunt, uncle. All of us need to be able to communicate with EPA. And I think sometimes for those of us who are common people, it sometimes feel like untouchable, right? To really communicate with the EPA. So we've tried to make it really, really easy. So we would really encourage people to go to Healthy Climate Wisconsin's website at www.wiclimatehealth.org/EPA. And on there, you can learn a little bit more information so you feel a little more comfortable. But we've made it really easy for you to communicate directly with EPA to say, hey, I don't want to have these spewing chemical reactions and pollutants into my airspace. Not only maybe for myself, but I'm a grandma of three grandsons. And I'll tell you, what they are looking at to inherit from this world, because we haven't necessarily done a good job to put regulations around around the pollutants that are coming into our air. We need to do something. So if nothing else, for your own health, for somebody else's health, for your friend's health, your children's health, future grandchildren's health, we need to all be part of this. So we've tried to make it really easy for people to go and to easily communicate with the EPA at any time. So, you know, the website, I mean, I guess one of the positive things about all of our internet accessibility, it's 24/7. So if you're in the middle, and you can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, get up and get to the website. And it's really easy to get there.
That 24/7 activism is both a blessing and a curse, a blessing for the convenience of people, a curse for people like Melissa, who work in it all the time and feel like their 24/7 activism takes no rest. But we're so thankful again, Melissa, that you brought on Pam Gutman for us to learn more about this incredibly important topic. Again, the website is wiclimatehealth.org. And if you want specifically the EPA section, then just add a /EPA on there as well. Pam and Melissa, thank you so much. We learned a whole lot in a short period of time, and hope that a lot of people take this call to action to heart and add their voices to all this. Have a great day, both of you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. You too.
So nice to have them here. And again, wiclimatehealth.org/EPA is the address on that. So much more still ahead. Our friend Melissa Kay is going to be joining us in our next segment for our daily history lesson and music break with a special emphasis on the bongos. Don't ask why. We'll just leave it at that. We're going to learn a lot more about bongos than you might have suspected when we come back. And then in our next hour, Congressman Mark Pocan will talk about the debt ceiling deal that he voted against and calls to ban TikTok. And at 7:30, State Assembly Rep Tip McGuire will be talking to us about the Joint Finance Committee. Then on Thursday, we talk to our friend Joe Zepecki. We have Hometown Health on responsible gun ownership and Representative Deb Andraka about gun safety proposals. Friday, Todd Alba, Mark Jacob, and State Representative Melissa Ratcliffe on expanding broadband in Wisconsin. So much ahead here. You're up north. This would be Dean Martin.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
There you go, kids. That's what rock and roll was before those darn Beatles came along. Melissa Kay joins us from locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Hello, Melissa.
Good morning.
Dean Martin was born this day in 1917. He passed away in 1995. Dean Martin is one of those who he kind of has the Elvis thing going in that a lot of people later just remember him as, well, was basically an old drunk. You know, he played that whole shtick about, you know, being an alcoholic. A lot of people are kind of forgetting now, in his younger days, he was like quite the swinger, the sex symbol. You know, his nickname was the King of Cool, Dean Martin. A lot of people wanted to be Dean Martin back then.
I've been Dean Martin.
You've been Dean Martin?
Well, kind of. I was in a Dean Martin show years ago.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, and you don't mean literally, like you weren't one of the gold diggers, the name of his background dancers. No.
We did a parody of Dean Martin and singing and songs and the alcohol.
That's so cool. That's awesome. all right. So there are a couple of birthdays. I've mentioned one already. I mentioned that Tom Jones turns 83 today. And yet for this birthday and the next birthday, we've got the same song to play. Here's Tom Jones.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on.
Now, at this point, I forget where Tom Jones was, probably in his 50s when he recorded this remake. And I mean, it had such a great groove to it. It was such a take on the original. The original is shared by somebody who shared his birthday. This is the anniversary of the birth of Prince. I think, Melissa, it's fair to say different stylings of the same classic song.
You know, I gotta say I like Tom's better.
I'm in the minority.
You're in the minority on that?
Yeah, I that's one of my favorite Prince songs.
Yeah. Well, and as you rightly note, we've been talking about birth names and unusual names. Prince actually was his birth name. Is it Prince Rogers Nelson?
Yep.
Okay. Born this day in 1958, sadly passed away in 2016. Now, Melissa, there's a third person who shares the birthday. New presidential candidate and former Vice President Mike Pence turns 64 today, and here's his version of Kiss. No, wait, he never did that. Could you imagine?
Maybe he should.
Oh, I don't know if Mother would let him, but that would... Oh my gosh, the parody we could do. How Mike Pence would have to change the lyrics of Pence, of Kiss, in order to sing it. By the way, in 1993 on this day, it was Prince's 35th birthday. And that was the day he changed his stage name to a symbol. Remember that phase,
yeah,
if you will? Yeah. We never did figure out how to pronounce that. Because
how do you say it?
Because we didn't want to.
Just became the artist formerly known as Prince.
Exactly. The musical Grease, long before the classic movie with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, it was a play. It debuted on Broadway this day in 1972. John Denver had the number one hit this day in 1975.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
Another one of those songs that folks might have thought was kind of goofy at first, and then it grew on them. And again, you're going to tap your toe. On that same day, 1975, Sony launches Betamax, the first video cassette recorder format, and I think seven people owned it. But it was all the rage. Bill Hader turns 45 today, formerly of Saturday Night Live and Barry. Priscilla Presley opened up Elvis's mansion Graceland to the public this day in 1982, and who could forget the glory, the terror, the gaudiness of the green shag carpet in Elvis's jungle room. Here's one where we got to make Aaron feel old. Actor Michael Cera is 35 today. How you doing with that, Aaron?
It's fine. We're all good here.
We're not troubled at all. Let's see. Stone Temple Pilots released their second album, Purple, this day in 1994. It included Interstate Love Song. And on this day in 2004, Back in Black by AC/DC was certified double diamond for selling over 20 million copies in the U.S., only the sixth album to do so. Melissa, would you consider yourself any kind of a musical expert on the bongos?
No.
No, I don't know that anybody does. But Aaron and I noticed a trend, and so we thought we would share this with folks. Let's start with, this is the intro to the Devil's Advocates radio show afternoons here on Civic Media. Of course, we'd be the Stones and Sympathy for the Devil. Then we've got the theme to the Todd Alba Show, which is by George Michael. And now we're going to preview the new Stu Daniels show that premieres just over an hour from now on many of these Civic Media stations with Ronnie Laws's Always There. Noticing a trend here.
A little bit.
Which I think is kind of cool because we're like, wait a minute, I did not know so many songs had that kind of a percussive start to it. So we tried to think of some others. The OJs had one.
And this one is the theme song for Town Call, another new Civic Media show.
So they just don't stop. Another new Civic Media show.
I thought I recognized it.
Featuring the bongos. So now we need to find out if we can get some radio hosts that could take on some of these others. For example, we talk to Mark Jacob down in Chicago every now and then, so occasionally we'll pick a Chicago song like this one. And then, let's see, we got Heartbeat by the group War. A little bongo action on this one. And let's come up with one more. Curtis Mayfield had Move On Up. And I know there were plenty of others, but we just thought that was rather noteworthy that
if you've got
a song with a nice little bongo intro, you know, you may live in radio immortality as a result. Mm. Now, speaking of radio immortality, what's happening at locally grown radio? You're with your new morning shows, 7 to 8 on our
country station, 105.5 WIRI. Mm-hmm. And it's the Sunrise Show. So we talk about country music history, you know, just have fun, listen to country music. And then we move over to the WFHR studio and do our morning show there from 8 to 10. And then our morning magazine segment has moved to 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Today, they're spending the whole hour with Wood County Sheriff Becker.
That's awesome. All right. Well, yeah. Melissa, good luck with all that. Thanks for playing along as we banged on the bongos for a few minutes here.
You know, I banged on the bongos yesterday at the park with my little friend. So it wasn't musical, though.
You are too much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
You too.
Congressman Mark Pocan on the other side of this break. You're up north.